received, being passed around, so being here hotly and handsome. Parenthetical study. We were dealing with Jeremiah's, we talked about Jeremiah's 70-week prophecy, 70-year prophecy, and how it became the great theme for Daniel's prophecy, a 70-week prophecy, 77s. We discussed the fact that this kind of prophecy certainly would be a prophecy involving continuous years. A time prophecy is utterly useless, as I said, if the years are not continuous, unless you're told otherwise. And I indicated my feeling that the important gap between the 69th and the 70th week or thereabouts.
I'd like to bring you right up to see. Hey, Bruce. I don't bring you great up to the seat.
Drop 2 points, I'll make 1 point back.
This is another one of those disappearing tax.
Right. Well, the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, it's the same kind of thing we studied yesterday. We looked at the image. The text of Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Let's get that in front of us. Thank you, Bruce. I made light of your kindness. That's what I need. Daniel 9. Some water got a little bit.
It's clear, Bruce.
Daniel 9, 24 through 27 is the prophecy. Let's look at the context. I'm not going to read it yet. Look at Roman numeral 1, the context. What is happening this section 4, this is the last section in our course, or the long section, and I label it special studies. We've laid all the groundwork now, at least what we're going to, and we come down to a series of special studies. Sections of scripture or topics which are important in the study of eschatology. Now, what has gone on here is that the year is 605, as I indicated on the timeline. I'm sorry, the year is 538. What has happened is that listen close, it's kind of complicated, but Daniel has been reading Jeremiah, or he's aware of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah had given a 70-year prophecy. I listed here Jeremiah 25, 11 through 18. Let's glance back at Jeremiah, the Jeremiah prophecy. And it's about the Babylon, it's concerned the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 25, 18, 11 to 18. And this whole land, well, I'll just read verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolate and a horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. When the 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon, that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. Well, by 538, this has happened. Approximately, not exactly, but about 70 years, from 605 to 538. Babylonians had lorded it over Israel, over Judah, and over Judah, and they had Cyrus, the Persian, has taken Babylon. So Babylon has fallen. The 70 years are up. Babylon has fallen, but the people of God have not gone home yet. They've not reestablished their nation, rebuilt their temple. Okay? Prophecy said that's all that would happen. That kind of thing would happen. So, Daniel is praying to God in Daniel 9, citing Jeremiah's prophecy, saying, well, Lord, it's 70 years is up. Babylon is conquered. Isn't it about time for the rest of the prophecy to be fulfilled? Isn't it about time to go home? Y'all see that? Well, that's what we read. Look at Daniel 9, verses 4 through 19, is Daniel's prayer. I give you the chronology here. 605, the beginning of the Babylonian rule. 587, the destruction of Jerusalem. 538, Daniel's prayer. 538, the year that Babylon fell to Cyrus. Okay? So his prayer is really after the fall of Babylon. And we'll see that the decree of Cyrus to rebuild the city, which went out the next year, fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy, and it comes out to 68 years. Okay? That is what happened after approximately 70 years, Babylon destroyed, and the city, and the decree went out to rebuild the city. Now, this is the year before the decree of Cyrus to rebuild the city. Are y'all with me this morning? Am I making sense? This is the year before that. And Daniel is praying, and I prayed to the Lord, verse 4, Daniel 9. I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed and said, Elliot, alas, let's put that water in I prayed to the Lord, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant, loving kindness for those who love him and keeps his commandments, we have sinned. Great, by the way, this is a great prayer of repentance. Even greater than perhaps the 51st Psalm. The 51st Psalm is, in my opinion, the greatest prayer of personal repentance. This perhaps is the greatest prayer of national repentance. Alas, O Lord, we have sinned, verse 5, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, even turned aside from thy commandments and ordinances. For we have not listened to thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, princes, fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day, and so forth. Now, it says in verse 2 that Daniel, look at verse 2. In the year that I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave attention to the Lord and began this great prayer. As we'd like to go home, Lord. Acknowledging the national sin. Now, by the way, it's interesting. You see how Daniel, you often hear that it said, well, 70 years is exactly 70 years. No, it didn't. When Daniel noticed this, he said, well, Lord, isn't it about time? Or isn't it time? That only 67 years have passed. So the Lord answers his prayer. And we go on down through verses 19. The prayer goes on through verse 19. Forgive us, don't delay. Listen to this. Look at verse 19. For thine own sake, O my God, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So he's praying that they can go home and restore the city. Verse 20. Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication to the Lord my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, that is Zion. While I was still speaking in prayer, when the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering, that is what the evening offering would have been back in Jerusalem had the temple been standing. And he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. I've got a message from God for you. 70 weeks, 70 sevens in the Hebrew, 70 heptads, sometimes called. 70 sevens, 70 weeks, have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Now, 70 is a round number. And I indicate here at under B, well, not 2 day yet, a period of approximately 500 years, exactly 490 years, 77 to 490 years. Now, it doesn't say, well, anyway, so we would not, we would, going in, I would say, we would not look for exactly 490 years, just as Daniel did not look for exactly 70 years, just about 70 years, yes.
Sorry, you lost me. What is 490
years? 70 weeks, verse 24, have been appointed for your people, decreed for your people. Now, so what he's saying is that there's going to be a period of, now, why, about roughly 500 years, okay? This is the way these numbers were used.
10 years.
But that, well, it doesn't say a year. It says 77s. 70 units of seven have been appointed. Now, the common understanding is by everybody, they might disagree with this, that it's 70 groups of 70 years. 77s have been appointed. That is 490. Now, why did he, first of all, why this kind of language? Why did he just say in about 500 years? Are you all with me? Why did he just say in about 500 years this is going to happen? All these things are going to happen. Well, here I've been the significance of the language that there's a poetic significance, if I understand this. What had Daniel been praying about? Well, I have my questions today. He's been praying about this 70-year prophecy. This one 70-year prophecy of Jeremiah. When the time was up, that's actually 67 years ago. And he is told by God through Gabriel that not only is God going to keep his promise, now listen to me, not only is God going to answer his prayers, he's going to give him a favor he did not ask. Look, I summarize this under A, Roman numeral 3. He asked about a national liberation in terms of Jeremiah's 70 years, right? He is promised spiritual liberation in terms of 77s, as opposed to one, based on the number 7, a poetic extension of or attachment to the prophecy about which he was praying. He said, look, Daniel, he said, God is saying in effect, I understand this. Look, Daniel, you're concerned about the 70-year prophecy and the national liberation of your people. I'll tell you, I'm going to give you that. I'll give you something even better. I'm going to tell you about the spiritual liberation of your people. And he does it in terms of seven 70-year prophecies, or seven units of 70 years, as opposed to one unit of 70 years about which he was praying. Are you all with me this morning? That is, he's praying about, Lord, it's 70 years are up. And he says, and God says, it's time for a national liberation. God says, all right, but let me tell you something even better. You don't ask for it. Let me tell you about the spiritual liberation of your people. And he doesn't, rather just say, 500 years, he says, a period of 77s.
Why does it say weeks?
It doesn't say weeks. That's how it's often translated. It says 77s. Maybe not 70 units of 7. Whatever it is. It's commonly understood 2 years.
So you're saying because Daniel's been praying about 70. Jeremiah 70 years.
Yes. See the connection? Yeah, it's kind of a poetic connection. But by the way, in the ancient literary context, it's been very common. This would be very normal. Rather than just give it one stretch. Now, anyway, regardless of the reason, now, First of all, let's look at the time of the possible ways to compute the time of the fulfillment. Now, by the way, it's very difficult. It's not exact numbers. You see, it says 70 weeks have been decreed, and So verse 25, so you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, there shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks, that is 69 weeks. 69 will be 70. It will be built again, plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and we'll take that up in just a minute. Now, there are possible ways to compute the fulfillment. I'll list these. It says from a decree, but the problem is there were three decrees. The Lord, the Cyrus decree, Artaxerxes, Cyrus' successor, repeated it twice. People just didn't go. But if you counted, and I've computed this for us here, if you compute from the decree of Cyrus, which was 537 B.C., and you deduct from that 483, which is 69 weeks until Messiah is going to come. And following from the decree to the Messiah, to the coming of the Messiah, 69 weeks. That'd be 483 years exactly, but we did not look for exact years. Are with me now? May decree to go out to the coming of the Messiah, or to Messiah, it says, is 69 weeks. Exactly 483 years, but again, we look for exact years. Well, if you compute from the first decree, the decree of Cyrus, it comes out to 54 B.C. That's a bit early, isn't it? Not very close. Go to the second decree, the decree of Artaxerxes to Ezra, it comes out to 25-24 A.D., it's not from the coming of the Messiah, it's the cutting off of the Messiah, the crucifixion, I'm sorry, I said the cutting off, if that sounds right. You come out to 25-24 A.D., that's a little bit early. Jesus died in 30 A.D., right? If you compute from the third decree, you come out a little bit late. And you pay your money and take your choice. But you see, even the first one, conceivably, probably the last two, you get approximately the time. Again, this would not, look for exact years. You're within the ballpark, as it were. So there's going to be a first unit of 69 sevens, from the decree to go out, and until Messiah will be cut off. So there's going to be a period of time, be roughly 483 years, and you can see how one decree about 5 or 6 years before, the other about 7 or 8 years after.
Why is tracking different numbers like you have 458 and 445? Second and last.
Because the first one, you've got from 537 BC, you can subtract it, but if you've got only 458 BC, you have to subtract from the larger number. Turn to the AD, the first persecution of BC.
Yeah,
good question. Okay. Well, anyway, I wouldn't think argue for either one, but you get it within the general time frame. Now,
yes, you still come. You would not.
What one do you?
You know, I'd
agree that either one of the last two. Any of them would be okay. I think any one of the last two. But again, I guess it's a general, not exact.
Maybe Dave Snyder just said it, I missed it. When you come up with a different number to subtract from, you can...
Okay, if you're subtracting from the first number, it's because there's enough years before Christ, it's the larger number, you can subtract and come up with B.C. However, the second decree is only 458 B.C., and you're subtracting 483 years, so you subtract and get to go the other way, branching into the common era, Christian era, same with the second. So you deal with B.C. and A.D., negative numbers, that's why. How dare you question my... First of all, we're talking about now is he's giving a rough time frame to the cutting off of the Messiah. elected. May decree the cutting off Messiah 69 years, roughly 400 to exactly, it would be exactly 180 years, but they didn't look for exact years. We should not. Okay. But more important, Roman numeral 4, that which is to take place within the 70th, that then within the last week, this messianic time, the Messiah's within this last week, the 70th week. By the way, we look at all that's going to happen within this, the last week, or the last period of sevens, verse 26. Then after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, that is, utterly cut off. Secondly, by the way, as I understand this text, I'll tell you why later, there's no punctuation in the Hebrew. You ought to put a parenthesis, very common in Scripture. It says, Messiah will cut off and have nothing. Put a parenthesis there. And the other end of the parenthesis at the end of the verse. And the people and the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and his end will come in the flood, even to the end will be war, desolation, determined. That's parenthetical. Okay? Then it picks up again. He, that is the Messiah, will make a firm covenant with many. We make a firm covenant, 27a. Y'all see what we're doing here? I'll tell you why later. That is, this people and the prince who is to come does not refer to the Messiah. It refers to something that's going to happen in connection with the cutting off of the Messiah. And he, verse 27, refers back up to the Messiah. He will make a firm covenant. He will put a stop to sacrifice and offerings, 27, first part of 27. And last, and afterwards, will come the destruction of Jerusalem, 26b, that's what that's about, and 27b, the last part of both verses. Now, he will be cut off, and people, the prince of Israel, will stay in the sanctuaries, and will come in the flood. He will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of it, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings. And on the wing of abomination will come one. There's what he's going to do, plus what the other is going to do. One who makes desolate. Even a complete destruction, one of his decrees is poured out upon the one who makes desolate. So you've got two people. You've got the Messiah being cut off and certain things he's going to accomplish. And you've got this enemy that's going to come in and destroy the city. Well, I'll tell you in just a few minutes. Now, generally about the structure of the text or the structure of the language. Now, in summary, in anticipation, we look at that in Roman numeral 5, then we're going to come back to some of this. That which should take place within the whole period, the 70 weeks. Well, verse 24 summarizes it ahead of time, summarizes it going in. This is what's going to happen during this whole period. Now listen, finish transgression, make an end of sin, make atonement for iniquity, everlasting righteousness established, seal up vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy place. All these things are going to happen within the 70 weeks. So what he does in verse, look at the text. In verse 24, he summarizes. All this is going to happen for your people, the spiritual restoration of your people. Then, in verse 25, it's broken down. So, what we see here is, we see these things that happened with the Messianic age. Let's just take Roman numeral 5 first and summarize this. Did Jesus finish in the coming of Jesus and the atonement, the work of the atonement, did he finish transgression? Well, this kind of language, speaking of, this was the consummation of Israel's sin. Daniel had been praying about Israel's sins, and he says in this period is going to come the final, the finished transgression, the finishing touch, the final touch, the consummating transgression. What was the consummating transgression of the nation?
They murdered the Messiah.
Yeah, the killing of the Messiah. So this was the consummating national sin. The New Testament teaches this very clearly. I'll give the citation in 3:32. Make an end of sin. That is, sin sealed up for judgment. The sin problem dealt with in Jesus. Make atonement for iniquity. We have no problem with that, do we? Jesus made the atonement. everlasting righteousness established, that is through faith, new plan of earth. Israel has failed to become righteous under the law of Moses. Now we've got a new plan. Seal up vision and prophecy, that is to authenticate and fulfill the prophetic program. Messiah is going to come. This is going to be the focus of all the prophets said. And by the way, we've already studied this. The New Testament writers present Jesus and his death and resurrection as the authentication of the prophetic program. Certainly did. Anoint the most holy place. It is Christ enters heaven, Hebrews 9:12. And see, Daniel been praying about the temple. He says that it's going to come in heaven, the anointing of the holy place. He talks about the spiritual restoration, the spiritual temple, the spiritual level, and Christ enters heaven and anoints the holy place. All this is going to happen. All this means spiritual restoration. There's a nation that's going to commit it, which has sin, will commit its ultimate sin, its consummating sin, and then the sin problem will be taken care of. The spiritual temple, spiritual restoration. Without going into that further, you see that? All this is going to happen.
In 25, 26, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks.
Wait, let me get to 25 and 26 just
the next. Oh, okay.
I want to break that down. But what I want us to see is, I mean to cut your question off the knees, but let me handle this systematically. What I want us to see, and the basis of sound exegesis is, and Jim asked the question, on what basis do we interpret, say there's a parent, a parenthesis. By the way, this is very common. Sometimes you have whole chapters in a parenthesis. Is that how we interpret the particular breakdown in verses 25, 26, and 27 must be governed by the general statement in verse 24. All these things are going to happen in this period. Tell me, you get the summary. Then when he breaks it down, we must interpret, we're going to be good exegetes, we must interpret the breakdown in harmony with the summary. The general statement. You see what we're doing now? So all these things are going to happen. And of course, all these are beautifully fulfilled in Christ. Very clear. Now, he said, now we get down to verse 25. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree, we're going to deal with it, to be 69 to 7 weeks and 62 weeks. There's too much of a problem with that. The temple will be rebuilt. By the way, see, what had Daniel been praying for? The rebuilding of the temple. He says, okay, it's going to be rebuilt. The problem is, note the progression. Israel has sinned. They've gone into captivity. Daniel repents on behalf of the nation. We are sinners, but on the basis of your grace, let us go home and rebuild our temple. He says, okay, you are sinners. You are going to rebuild your temple. But the nation is not through sinning. One more time there shall be... The nation shall sin. Then the 70 weeks, 77. There will be the consummating sin. Finished sin. And the temple will be destroyed again. But there is ultimate spiritual restoration. See how it fits in? The sin, the destruction of the temple, the rebuilding of the temple. Another sin, the consummating sin. No, here's what you have. We have sin. We sin back here, our temple was destroyed. We repent, we want it rebuilt. God says, yes, I'm going to permit that. Even the moat, the moat's going to be built in distressing times. But you're going to sin again, the final sin. The temple is going to be destroyed for the final time. But do not despair. That which has not happened on earth, the physical level shall happen spiritually. Spiritual restoration. It's all in the context of Daniel's prayer. So he says, for it is going to be rebuilt. Then it's one prophecy he talks about within the 77, it's going to be rebuilt, destroyed again.
So this this consummation sign that God promises when he said that the nation is going to sin again, even though I restore it back to rebuild the temple, to be destroyed again anyway, it's all going to happen in about 500 years.
Yes. Okay, so then he begins to break it down. Do you see what we're doing here? We're interpreting the breakdown in light of the summary. Well, we've talked about this now. That is, it should, within the 69 weeks, it will be built again. And in verses 26 and 27, what we see is he connects. Are y'all confused?
Y'all looking like here?
Okay, let me. I'm trying to go too fast. Here in 538, he's praying about sin and about the temple. That's national sin. There's a connection. Why is our temple in ruins? Because we sinned as a nation. Okay. So the prophet says, okay, let me tell you about something more. But then, within 500 years, 500 years, or 77s, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a return. The temple's going to be rebuilt. But it's going to come another sin, the ultimate sin, the crucifixion of Jesus, and the temple destroyed again. For the final time. But in all this, there shall be spiritual restoration. You see the ultimate destruction of the nation, but you do not see ultimate despair. Because Messiah is working, Messiah is making atonement.
Now, is that referring to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD?
Yes. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. By the way, I want you to see that both in Old and New Testament, there's an intimate connection between the crucifixion of Jesus and the destruction of the temple. As I've said before, Jesus taught very clearly, we take time to go into all the text, that the killing of the Son was the ultimate sin, and the destruction of the temple, destruction of the city and the temple in AD 70, was a judgmental act by Jesus upon the nation. It was the final destruction because of the final sin. Just as God was using the Babylonians, with the Assyrians to destroy Samaria, the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem, and to use the Romans to destroy Jerusalem a second time. Okay? This connection, the kill of the Son, the destruction of the nation, destruction of the Jewish state. And he ties these two together. Then after, so verse 26, after 62 weeks, after this first period, after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Now, the 62 comes after the 7, that's the end of 69 weeks. There's 7 and 62 makes 69 and the 7. I don't know why that's broken down that way, I have no idea, whatever. But within this last week, the last week is the most important. The Messiah will be cut off, the crucifixion, have nothing. Okay? The consummating sin. Are you with me? Consummating sin. And the judgment of God, the punishment of God. What's God going to do? Well, and the people of the prince who is to come, that is Titus probably, the Roman general, will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations are determined. Did that happen? Yes. See? Don't have us tied together? Messiah will be cut off. Who's going to do it? Jerusalem. Then a prince is going to come, leading an army, and destroy Jerusalem again. And he, that is the Messiah, will make a firm covenant with me for 1 week. Make a covenant. In the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice. Now, for the strange language, did Jesus put a stop to sacrifice? How did he put a stop to it?
He wasn't sacrificing.
Yeah, his death invalidated animal sacrifice. Did he make a covenant? Mm-hmm. Yes. And then, about this, you see, this is good Hebrew writing. This is called parallelism. Follow me? The killing of the Son, the destruction of the city. The atoning work of the Son and his death, the destruction of the city again. And he will make a firm covenant with me for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings. And on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate. Notice the difference. Who's the one who makes desolate? Well, it's this prince he's already talked about. Until a complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. That is, he's going to destroy and destroy until himself is stopped. Yes.
I want to straighten out the first 7 weeks of this prophecy. would be the rebuilding of the temple. The Jews and ministry would be part of that too, wouldn't it? At least.
Yes.
At least the latter part of that, right? Yes.
But you see, I think we ought not look for this nice, precise breakdown. This is just a general picture.
The next, well, 62 weeks after that, then he'll be cut off.
No. No. It says after 62 weeks, but the 62 follow the 7, it's after the 62nd week, is. Yeah, but not after 69 weeks.
Oh, wait a minute, okay, that's, it'd be longer, but he won't be there in that first week, first 7 weeks. So. No.
Okay. If we take Christ, this we hear this, where you said put in parentheses, mm-hmm. it looks to me like it says the people of the prince who is to come. The prince who is to come looks to me like it's Christ, is that right?
No.
It's not.
Christ, I think he's talking about the Romans. It's one coming to destroy the city again.
Well, what it looks like when I first read it is that the people of Jesus, then, that's who the...
No, I think not, because of the parallelism. One who brings, not only it was the judgment of Christ, but I think he's talking about identifying a military leader that's going to come to destroy the city. Now, yes?
Talking about the first of the 1 week,
okay, I think it's within the general time frame of the 70th week, he's going to make a covenant, new covenant, with many, and put a stop to sacrifice. See how they tie together the new covenant and put a stop to sacrifice. Now, if you, by the way, so the two reasons why I put the parenthesis in, it's applied in the text, you see, it's parallelism, and, oh, there's three reasons. First, it's applied in the structure of the text. Secondly, it, note how it harmonizes with the summary. Very important. Remember I said the summary in verse 24? It harmonizes with the summary. All these things took place. Note how that you can fit all in the Roman numeral 4 into all that took place in the Roman numeral 5. They had all took place within that period. Now, but the third reason why I take this is that if you don't do that, you really have no way of interpreting this without really doing violence to the text. And keep in mind, it's a common way of writing. We're not, it's not something unusual. Tomorrow, we will begin with, by the way, we're going to see how that dispensationalism gets off the hook. Believe, now this is good. If you believe that the church is not the kingdom of the Messiah, then you got a real problem. Where do you find the church in here? In this period. Well, suspend your conclusion on this. It's been kind of confusing today. Suspend your thinking on it. We're going to deal with it. We'll summarize it again and look at the alternative interpretations. Good luck.
In the world.
By the way, I think we got an offers in our screen. Congratulations, Green.
Oh, 18 decided not to come.
Good idea. What is it, reading the third one?
I'm listening to one.
Eight half, that's a long read.
That's James? Could you do us a big favor? Could you draw a line on the board and mark it off 1 week, 2 weeks, and 7 weeks, whatever, 7 weeks, 6 weeks, and 1 week, and then draw it for us how it's supposed to be, because I'm still lost.
I know you are.
I'm not the only one.
Amen.
I have to say so.
No, the whole class was brought on. We have a matching team. They rent their garments in the back row and put the dirt on their head in the front row. So, we will, just a second here. I brought my, trying to, I found it. Right, the packet pagination on this is off, as I said. Why? But okay. It is admittedly difficult language. Now, I was looking for a remember all our Carney on the honeymoon? Give the time, say roughly 500 years, okay, 77. Why it is presented in increments of increments of 70. Why was that?
Because he's praying about a 70-year period.
Yeah, undoubtedly, there's poetic significance attached to the fact that this vision was given, or this prophecy was given in answer to Daniel's prayer about Jeremiah's 70-year prophecy. And as Jeremiah had promised a national restoration in terms of 70 years, Babylon would have suzerainty over Judah for 70 years. And by the way, this is very, very common, this way of doing things, using this as a springboard, this kind of poetic significance is very common in Hebrew literary culture. And he is told of, as we indicated, not only national restoration in terms of Daniel of Jeremiah 70 years, but spiritual restoration in terms of 77, or 770s, okay? And we look at verse 24 as the summary verse. And I summarized that for you. Did you see that on the back page, verse 24? Roman numeral 5. These are all the things that are going to take place. They're going to be part of this national restoration. And then he breaks it down into the, you have the